Hello, Dog Days listeners and Dog Days podcasters. This is Chuck Tomasi coming to you from Fremont Street in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are staying an extra night because this is a long trip, and if we had tried to make it back to Phoenix in one day, we would have been really tired, and I wouldn't have gotten to see a couple of things. So, hey, I'm on vacation. Let's make this fun. This is Dog Days of Podcasting, day number 24? Four. 24, which means it's August 24th. This is a challenge for podcasters to create a show, an episode a day for the month of August. And I'm doing much better than last year. There are a number of people who are doing really great, and it's been fun listening to all these shows. This is, you're listening to Freestyle, and my mission this month is to bring you one story from 30 years ago when my wife and I were dating, and we had a nice date tonight on Fremont Street, walking around, grab a little drink, grab a little food, listen to some music, do a little dancing in the street. It's been a lot of fun. Well, we started the day. I'm going to start you up a little news update first, and then we'll get into the C&D story from 30 years ago today. We started out by bringing the girls to the airport and returning our rental vehicle. They got on their plane and got home safely. It's funny. They could go all the way across the country from Wyoming back to Michigan before we can even get out of Utah. It's a big state. Interstate 15 is a long road. It is just, I'll tell you, it was crazy long. But happy that they got home, happy that they got safely on their way. Then Craig called up when we were between Salt Lake City and Provo. He was testing out his Google Home. Said, hey, I just need somebody to test this out on. So I was the lucky guinea pig that got to test out his Google Home. Realized that we got to sit about 6 inches from the microphone. It was only about 12 inches from his face, but it sounded like it was a conference room phone halfway across the conference room. So we got that squared away. Also got caught up on a few other things related to the job, which I will tell you about in a few days. The live show, we got some Dog Day stuff. I got a lot of stuff squared away in about a 35-minute call. So it was good talking to Craig and catching up after being on PTO for a few days, almost a week. Well, actually, it's been a week now. And one more day to go. Then we were listening to the Dog Days of Podcasting. When that finished up, we jumped back into an audiobook that Donna had downloaded, and we are listening to the story 1 Second After. It is a story about what could possibly happen to a small town in North Carolina, actually the whole country, but it's centered around this man in North Carolina, after an EMP goes off and takes out like all of the electrical grid, all the electronics in every car and plane, and. Great scenario. There's some good characters in there. We are still cranking through that, so I don't know how it ends, but it is getting more and more kind of like the Walking Dead. It's very dystopic, but they're thinking through things, and it's not just the how do you get water, how do you get food, how do you fend off the baddies. But moral questions, too, about who should you keep. They got medicine from the nursing home, which was stolen and then later retrieved. But do you give it back to the aging people who are going to die anyway? Or do you save it when some kid needs surgery for a life-threatening injury? So lots of good info there. 1 Second After is the name of the book. If you haven't read it or listened to it, it's very entertaining. We also realized as we were driving along that the Dog Days of Podcasting is a lot like the bulletin board postings that I'm reading. Everybody had a voice. It was this nice, tight, small community. Everybody knew what was going on with everybody else, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a very intimate, close-knit community. Some people posted. Some people just lurked and read. Well, in this case, they're listening. It was a lot of fun. So there's a close parallel, and I think I enjoy the podcasting aspect a little bit more. A, because I don't have to type and try and spell things. B, I tend to be more of a listener than a reader. People generally gravitate towards one or the other. I just happen to be a listener more than a reader, so I enjoy podcasts very, very much. I finally when we were in the hotel room earlier, managed to copy the Jill Tarter audio off of my phone. I recorded it onto a Rode application because I was using the Rode Reporter with the iXLR. Reporter is a nice microphone. Looks like one of those kind that reporters hold up, long and hefty. And I think I mentioned this before. I recorded one of the earlier episodes in the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge on it. And the iXLR, which converts it from an XLR connection, which is the three prongs that you usually see on commercial microphones, to a lightning port, which goes into my iPhone 6 Plus. And it worked out very well. Only it was kind of in this proprietary app. And you can send it to Evernote, or Mail, or Dropbox, and I couldn't get it to go anywhere. Well, finally tonight, I was able to get it to upload to Google Drive. So, wipe the sweat off the brow that I have it backed up into the cloud, and the audio is there, which means it automatically synced onto my laptop. So even if I'm out of bandwidth, or out of Wi-Fi, or out of cell range, or whatever, tomorrow I could still edit it on the road while Don is driving, or when I get home, because I also want to record the intro, give her the proper accreditation that she deserves, and then hopefully release that in the next few days before the trip to Santa Clara, before Dragon Con, and before everything else life gets in the way. I want to, for the projects like that, I like to get them out of the way while they're still fresh on my mind and while I still have motivation to do it. Otherwise, it just becomes part of the backlog. And I think Nutty was talking about the way that she does house cleaning, and Don and I were nodding. It's like, yeah, every time I'd start doing an errand or a chore in the house, it feels like an adventure game, you know, where you have to get one item to get the next, to get the next, to get the next. And I start out with, hey, I need to clean the salt cell on the pool. And that turns into going into the garage and recognizing, oh, there's something else out of place. I'll put that away and get distracted on the way to that. Oh, there's dishes in the living room that need to be put in the kitchen. Oh, the dishwasher needs to be emptied. Oh, the dishwasher. Suddenly, it's 4 hours later and I still haven't gotten to the salt cell on the pool. And that was the original thing that I set out to do. So yeah, I empathize with that. And it's nice when everything's all in one room and you just focus on that one room. But that's far and few between for that. Let's see. The other thing I got done was some work for next week. I know I'm supposed to be on vacation, but that workshop in Santa Clara on Tuesday is not going to feed itself. I need to get some virtual machines spun up. So I reached out to Craig and said, what should I do? And he said, oh, talk to Jesse. And I said, Jesse, what should I do? And she said, oh, go to this form. And I said, well, it doesn't have what I need. And went back to Craig's boss, I believe. Alex, your boss, Craig, you're going to have to familiarize me on that. I believe he is. And we got that squared away. So I'm doing some testing right now before I get the 20 or so. And it's good that I didn't spin up all the instances because Barbara, who's the sponsor of this whole workshop, she's the one who actually asked me to get it started about 2 months ago. She is still collecting names. Apparently, we've been upgraded in rooms because we've got more attendance than originally planned. Last I heard, it was 17 people. Could be more. And we're going to have some virtual people in Seattle, so we've got a room with telepresence. Yada, yada, yada. This is going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. Hope it works out. I appreciate all the help, Craig and Jesse and everybody else who's out there who's supporting this, because it's not a one-person show. I just make some PowerPoints and tell people some useful information, but there's a team of people behind it, and I'll remember to give you proper credit when the workshop comes up on Tuesday. This may happen to you, File. You ever lose something, and then you go and buy a replacement, and then you find the thing that you lost? Well, yeah, that happened to me. All week, I've been in need of a nail clipper, and I usually carry one in a specific place in my backpack. So it's with me on business trips. It's with me on personal trips. It's with me all the time. Only it wasn't there. And I said, doggone it, I know I had it on August 1st and 2nd when I was in San Diego. Couldn't find it. Meanwhile, you know, nails are getting ripped and chipped and dinged and banged and ground down and weird things happening. And hangnails need clipping. It's amazing how fast you can go from nice and comfortable to somewhat painful. So, well, Donna and I were here on Fremont Street. We found a Walgreens, walked in, bought a nail clipper and a couple other things we needed. Get back to the room, snip, snip, snip. Everything feels great. I'm rooting around in my backpack for a pen And what do I pull out? The nail clippers I thought I lost, of course. So now I have two. But in my book, you can't have too many nail clippers. It's kind of like having too many toothbrushes. It's something you're going to need eventually, and they get lost or broken or dull. So it's one of those things that's going to happen. If you want to find something, go buy a replacement, and the other one is likely to show up. Okay, that takes care of the news. Let's get on with the actual bulletin board posting from 30 years ago. This one is message number 551, dated June 10th. Time 9:07 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Subject, cold shock. Rather long post here. I seem to remember the basic gist of this one. Cold, cold night. It reads, I think I found out the opposite of heat stroke last night. I wanted to spend some more time with Dee when she had to go home, so I rode the motorcycle out to Chatham. Chatham was about 35 miles from where I lived. This is early June in Upper Peninsula of Michigan, so it was still kind of chilly. I dressed warm, but got a little chilled by the time I got out there. After a spell and some hot chocolate, I warmed up. Pretty soon, I had to face the long ride back to Marquette. Brrr. I got on the bike and started heading west. By the time I got to Chatham, which was only about a mile from her house, I was frozen. This was going to be a long ride. I figured I could stick it out and suffer from hypothermia later. My whole body wasn't cold, just the throat area and face. I do have a full face helmet with a face shield, but the wind can get in anyway. I started following someone a few miles later and thought I would stick with them just for company. What a mistake. This guy was going anywhere from 50 miles an hour to 65 miles an hour. I believe it was a 55-mile zone. I like to cruise somewhere between 60 and 65, but every time I would go to pass him on a slow spell of the road, the road wouldn't permit passing, or he would speed up, or something else would go wrong. Meanwhile, I was getting colder and colder and trying to think of other things that would keep my mind off the situation, but it was no use. I slipped into cold shock. It's the feeling when you just don't care how cold you get anymore. I could feel the cold air on my knees and going through the zipper of my jacket, but it didn't matter. I must have developed thick skin in a matter of minutes. Finally, I reached the junction of US 41 and M94, roughly halfway home. Slowing down took the wind off me for a minute, but I didn't notice any change in my condition. I was still in shock. I pressed on. The road from 94 to Marquette is much worse than the first stretch of road I took, since US 41 is full of bumps and ruts and bridges and other obstacles. And still, there was the car I was following. I could almost hear the three or four guys outlined in the darkness saying, "Let's see if we can get him to pass so he goes faster and freezes more." But then they would slow down and speed up and slow down and speed up. This guy was brake happy. He stepped on his brakes coming down every hill when his speed wasn't even 60 miles per hour. I was popping the gears between fifth and sixth constantly. I became more irate towards him because when you're cold, you don't want to move that much, and shifting gears was letting the cold in my leg. Can't you just feel the cold when you're reading this? I pressed on through the night and finally reached the four-lane stuff in Harvey. This was about 4 miles from my house. I blew by the guy without a glance. I had enough of him. Not a mile further, he turned off at the Chocolat Fire Department. No loss, I didn't like him that much anyway. The only saving grace he had was that he had the same three letters in his license plate as D, ABF. Following him all the way gave me nothing better to do than look at Honda and blah, 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 ABF. I know the numbers, but I don't want to offend anyone. I reached the safety and comfort of my own home at 11:20. I could finally crawl into my nice, warm electric blanket and revive myself. I peeled off the four layers of clothing and crawled into the preheated blanket. I wrapped it around me and set in to watch The Tonight Show. About 10 minutes later, I checked to see if the blanket was working because I was still freezing. Yep, it was set on broil. I mean temp. Sure enough, after a half hour, my trunk started thaw, and about 45 minutes after that, my knees, the most solidly frozen of my features, was beginning to regain feeling. I'd come back to life. At 12:30, I turned off the TV and fell asleep. The blanket remained on the setting of 10 all night, and I was never discomforted once. McCoy out. Well, you can see that we do stupid things when we're in love. Clearly. And I have to wonder if the freezing of my knees back then isn't part of the reason my knees hurt so much these days. But to the end game, it was worth it. Like I said, we went on a nice date tonight. Even while we were out there, one of the live bands was playing a song that we recognized from a concert that we went to in October of 87. We went to an Outfield concert when they played in Marquette, Michigan. Yeah, you remember the Outfield. A couple of albums, a couple of songs. And we had a good time. And we were out there dancing like, well, almost like we were in our early 20s again. Thank you very much. Have fun. Take care. And with any luck, I'll talk to you tomorrow.